Okay, let's begin. We might have an abridged shiur today. We'll see. Let's start from up to Perek Lamed Ches. We're up to Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Okay, Pasuk Lamed Gimel. We are continuing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking. Hashem is speaking. Hashem is asking Eve a series of rhetorical questions. Each question, on a very similar level, is trying to show Eve that he lacks base fundamental knowledge of what is involved in creating this world. He does not know a fraction of the chokhmah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has gone into the creation of this world. And the simple message is, if you don't understand the natural sciences, you don't understand how the world was created, how can you possibly expect to understand the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts his affairs with regard to reward and punishment? You have no right to complain. You have no right. And here is again, we continue these series of questions. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Hayodata, Chukos Shamayim, do you know the Chukos, the laws of heaven? Im Tosim Mishtaroi Va'aretz. Now, Mishtaroi means authority, like a policeman. What's the modern Hebrew word? One of the modern Hebrew words for Mishtara? Okay, the police.
A police station.
And what's the name? How do you say a policeman?
A shoter.
Okay, so we go to Eretz Yisrael, you see all over the place the police station, so we read the same word over here, Mishtarav Aretz, his authority on the earth. Now this, there is some depth in this pus. Let's take a look at the pus, give number two, let's see, elaborates slightly, Hayadato, im, teda gzeros tzva hashmayim. Do you know the gzeros seemingly that the tzva is, we're going, this pus, you have to remember, is a continuation of the pasuk Lamed Beis. Pasuk Lamed Beis described the mazaros, and we explained last week the mazaros is another word for the mazalos. We interchange the Resh and the Lamed, and we have the Ayish, and the Ayish has its children that follow in its wake. And going back a few psukim before, we learned about Kima and Kisil. Okay, we had this in the kinos yesterday. There were a couple of kinos which make mention of the various. They had the night, the main kinah discussed the constellations is the kinah that we read in the night. On the night, in fact, it mentions all 12 kinos, all 12 mazalos, and during the day there are different references here and there scattered throughout the kinos that make mention of the mazalos. So here, this pasuk Lamed Gimel, according to the Mitzudos, it appears is a continuation of the theme that appears in the previous two psukim about Kima and Kasil and the Mazaros and Aish, and here it says that they have some authority. Kadosh Baruch Hu has given al derech hateva. Of course, we know that ain mazal li Yisrael, that we can come can overpower our mazal, we can change our mazal. But there is a disposition. A person has a certain disposition that's based upon his mazal, and that means that the mazalos do have some power and have authority. That's seemingly what it means to say in this pasuk, at least according to the Mitzudos. And that are the chukos to Shemayim, the laws of heaven. It means the gzeros according to the Mitzudos that the Shemayim has power of. Which express their authority, their shoftim. The mazalos are of authority. They're the policemen. They're the mishpat on the world. What's that word? I can't read that word. Did you appoint them as an authority? Did you appoint each one of them as an authority over the earth? Who will rule over who? The mazalos seemingly give power, represent the nations of the world. Each nation has its mazal, has its set of stars, and those set of stars is what gives them power to rule over other nations. That's the way the world works. Every given point in time, there are certain nations which are subordinate to other nations. There's always a world power, and everyone else has to fall in line. That all comes from the mazalos in Shemayim. So, are you the one Eiv who is tosim memsheles kol echad baretz, who has appointed authority for each one in the earth? Mi yimshal al mi lecharev umi larav, who is going lecharev umi larav, which one will be killed by sword? Which nation will starve? Mi lishalav, which one will have peace and which one will be subject to war and so on and so forth. We say one of these expressions on Rosh Hashanah, in Ein Kitzva, in the piyut of Sana Taygef, as our chazan here today. He's not here yet. Right here, in the Sana Taygef, right here. So we have over here by Kohn. Kohn can sing this for us, all the different powers. So here it says here that some of this authority comes from the Mazalos, and Hashem over here is seemingly machin Eve. Hayadata chukos shemaim im tosim.
This proof, yeah. You can use a non-Jewish text in a spiritual level.
A non-Jewish text in a what?
Right, in a Jewish level, because if we say Eve wasn't Jewish,
yeah,
and he's saying that Hashem's telling him about Nisan HaTaykev,
yeah.
So then we see that we could use Nisan HaTaykev.
Nisan HaTaykev, why are you trying to hint that it's not a Jewish text?
No, what I'm saying, it shows you that you can be Mala.
Yeah.
Some people say you can't use non-Jewish songs in the God stuff.
Okay,
not only the text connection.
We don't have any of the text, we just have the concept.
Right.
We're just saying that the Mazolos do have some power, they give nations power, and here Hashem is saying, Tosin, are you the one that put into play, put into position, that set up the world with this koach? No, of course not. You don't have that kind of power because you don't have that understanding. And if you don't have understanding, we're going to follow through as we're going to have many times. Therefore, how dare you think you understand Hashem's hanhaga with regard to reward and punishment? Pause. That's Sirashi. Yeah.
Did the stars, are they the power or are they the enforcers?
So that's, I don't have clarity. The Mitsudo says enforcer.
Is an enforcer, not a...
Well, that's what the Mitsudo says. It says Yishbitu ba'aretz. They're shayfet. A shayfet is someone that is a shayftim v'shaytrim. A shayfet is one that then enacts laws. We commonly translate in the Chumash, shayftim v'shaytrim. A shayfet is the law, and the shayter is the enforcers of the law. Here we have the word yishpitu of a shayfet. So it seems that the mazalos are the ones that set down the rules. Who will enforce the rules? Doesn't say. It seems that it's natural that when you're dealing with the mazalos, you don't need to have two different levels. Automatically, the shayfet is the shayter. I don't know. Okay, so this is the first. Let's see, Rashi, something very similar. Mishtaroi. Shetiras hamazolos hamamunim, the authority of the mazolos, which are set, which are appointed, lohavi al oretz kor v'chom kayitz v'charev. Not like Rashi. Rashi, we're not like the Mitsudos. Rashi is saying that these mazolos control the climate. Not Rashi. Mitsudos is very different. Mitsudos made mention not of nothing about the climate. He mentioned about people's fate. Whether you will die through the sword, die through famine, live a life of tranquility, or live a life of strife. Very different approach. Are we dealing with climate, or are we dealing with a person's fate? Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Hasarim lo'av koylech. Sarim means to raise up. Eif, were you around at the time of my celebrations? Did you raise your voice to the clouds and tell them the shifas mayim tichaseka, and command that the cloud shall cover you, shall bring forth rain and drench you in its waters. Shifas means the flow of water, tichaseka, to cover you in its wetness. Did you have the power to do such a thing? No. Again, same thing. How then, dear, do you question my ways? Pasuk Lamed Dalet in Mitzudos. Hasarim, hoim torim lo'ov koylecha. Did you raise up your voice to the cloud? Did you shout out the cloud? Give it instructions. Lo'hayrid hamotar, to cause rain to descend. Bu yishma loch, and the cloud would have listened to you. Vichaseka, and will have covered you. What will have covered you? Shifas me hamotar, the flow of rainwater would flow from the clouds and make you wet. Did you have the power to do so? Of course not. And therefore, how dare you question my ways? Let's see over here. Rashi says something very similar. Hasodim lo'av kolecha litzavo Savos Olav Lehiskasher Becheshkas Mayim. Did you command Savos to command upon it that it should come together? The cloud should form, and with through the darkness, clouds, thick clouds are dark, to bring forth water, so that its flow of water should cover you. This is the darkening of the cloud. Kedira, like a pot. A kedira is a black pot. Kimo, o choshech lo sire, darkness you will not see. Okay, I don't remember what this. I'm not sure what that means. Just coming to point out that choshech lo sire, you do not see the dark clouds. Another idea explaining that darkness is associated with clouds. O shifas mayim al picho yichasecha, the flow of water through your mouth would cover you. Min hashamayim, the same idea. Did you give the command that caused the waters to flow from the clouds and cover your body in liquid? Pasik lamed hey. Has shalach birakim vayelechu. Did you have the power to say to the clouds, go forth, to tell the clouds to send forth their lightning, the barak, did you have the ability to give the command that the bolts of lightning would go forth? And when the bolts of lightning would reach their destination, they would say to you, hineinu, here we are. It's a very strange pasuk. This pasuk is telling us the idea that a shliach must come back to his master and tell him, Asisi, I have done your mission. We learned this from Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell Klal Yisrael to get ready for, ask them if they want to receive the Torah. Moshe goes to Klal Yisrael and he tells Klal Yisrael, Hashem wants to give you the Torah, do you want to accept it? Klal Yisrael says, Nasa, Nishma, Venasa, all different expressions of the Torah, Nasa, Nishma, Venasa. And then it says that Moshe went back to Kadosh Baruch Hu and said that Klal Yisrael is willing to accept the Torah. So the question that Chazal asked, why was it necessary for Moshe to go back to Kadosh Baruch Hu and tell him that Klal Yisrael wants the Torah? Hashem knows everything. Hashem sees everything. Hashem immediately knows that Klal Yisrael wants. So the answer is, it's Derech Eretz. It's Derech Eretz for the Shaliach to return to the Mishaleach and tell the Mishaleach, I have done your mission. I have done your will. You asked me, you sent me on a mission, I report back, and I've done what you told me to. It's Derech Eretz. So here, the Pasuk is alluding to this idea that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the bolts of lightning, I want you to descend, I want you to bring, to strike the earth. Whatever the bolt of lightning does to me, whether it brings destruction, whether it instills fear in the hearts of man, we would expect the bolt of lightning to be required to return back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, I have done your bidding. I have fulfilled the mission. Yet, when we look at nature, we don't see that happen. No. In nature, a bolt of lightning is one way. It does not go backwards. So that's what is very disturbing. Nature has to follow the rules of Derech Eretz. In fact, we learn Derech Eretz from nature. So the answer given here is the Mitzvus and Rashi is that the bolt of lightning says, I've done your will when it reaches the ground. It does say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have done your will, but it's not necessary for it to return back. It can do it from the place of its destination. It has a cell phone. The bolt of lightning was built in with, you know, it's solar powered. It doesn't have to go back to its source.
It's not only with lightning, with rain as well.
Okay, it doesn't really answer the question, but let's take a look how the Mitzudas tries its best to explain this idea. It's a very strange idea. Hatishlach ha'im tishlach barakim. Do you send? See Rashi. Ha'im tishlach barak. First Mitzudas. Did you ever send the new Eve? Did you ever give a command? Did you ever sit at the control panel in Shemayim and tell the bolts of lightning to go forth? Tishlach barakim asher yelchu, they should descend. V'hem yeshivu, and they will return. V'yomru hinenu, here we are. We are hinenu, here we are. V'nasa devarecha, we have fulfilled your mission. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk lamed hey v'yomru b'mokom shenishtalchu, in the place, in the location where they have been sent. Shom there. They say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hineinu, here we are, asinu shiluchu secha, we have done your mission, your bidding, she'ein etzrichim lachzor limkaimam ulohashiv shiluchan, they don't have to return back to their source to report. Why? Shehashchina b'chol mokaim. Because the Shekhinah is in every location. Okay, it doesn't answer the obvious question. So why don't we always say that? Why don't we say that when Moshe Rabbeinu went and received the Torah and Moshe had to go back to Shemayim, he climbed back on the mountain to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Klal Yisrael wants to accept the Torah. There's actually a pasuk, I don't know the pasuk on the tip of my tongue, but there's a pasuk that teaches that halacha. So why don't we say the Shekhinah is b'chol makom? Why don't we say that Moshe didn't have to return back to Shemayim? He could have just remained down on the ground wherever they were and said, they're ready to accept the Torah. I don't know the answer, but here, at least in this pasuk, with regard to the bolts of lightning, maybe the bolts of lightning represent malachim, and when it comes to malachim, the Shekhinah is always. They have a different set of rules where the Shekhinah is located, but
maybe the presence of the Shekhinah and the Shemayim is more strong than it is to.
Yeah, but here it's on the earth. Here the bolts of lighting are coming down to the earth. That's the simple understanding.
Well,
okay, so I don't know.
What about Moshe Rabbeinu? That's why I have to go back to
Shemayim. Yeah, I don't know. It's very. Okay, but we do learn at least, the very least, there is such a concept that when someone sends you on a mission, you have to, it's their cheretz to come back when the mission is over to report back to the Mishleach and say, we've done your bidding. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have to return back to the location because the Shekhinah is B'chol Makom. That's the very basic what it says here. Pasuk Lamed Vav. Mi shos batuchos chochma. What about tuchos, the kidneys? Hashem says to you, did you create, now he's focusing on the human being. Until now, primarily we're focusing on the weather. Clouds, rain, lightning, thunder. And we did mention here and there some references to a person that was really more from the Midrashim. We mentioned a little bit the pores of the hairs on the person's body, the pores. But here we're focusing on the organs, the kidneys. In the kidneys, Chazal tell us the kloyos yoatzos. The kidneys give a person, from the kidneys come counsel. We don't know. I don't know if there's any. There's any science to prove such a thing? I don't know that kidneys give counsel. Any such thing? Never heard such a thing. Okay. What about the? I read articles about people who have heart transplants and after, or even other organs. I don't know the organs. And when they recover, they suddenly have an interest in things they never had interest before. They have like foods that
perspective has changed. I don't think it's related to the heart.
It's not related to the heart. Okay, I don't know. Listen.
They mimic some of the characteristics of the donor.
Yeah, they do. Such a thing.
I think I read that.
You read that? I also read that. They like foods. There are stories. There are documented stories. There are many like this. People have heart transplants, and all of a sudden, the foods which they are nauseated by, now they have a desire for. And it happens to be that the donor enjoyed these type of things. Okay, but what is the heart? Is that, it's not the heart, that's the, should be in the mind. Okay, there's yet to be a mind transplant. Not yet. Coming soon. Coming soon. Coming soon. There's a whole deal, there's a controversy. There was a rabbi that wrote an article, he was picked up by CNN. There was a rabbi that said that a robot can be included in the minion. You hear this? You hear this? A robot.
It's kind of
a
robot.
A robot. You can even starve a robot for a minion. An Orthodox rabbi said such a thing. It was picked up by CNN. It was picked up by some of the major media outlets. And this is Rabbi Tal, who's a very, very good writer. Very, very, very big Talmud Chacham in Montreal. A young man. I think it's Montreal. So he took him to task for this. What? Could be. Yeah. Young Israel Buffalo?
How long ago was this?
Recently, it's still going on. I don't know. So he went and he nailed him big time. What in the world are they talking about? And there's a whole dialogue going on between the two. But okay, that's going off the topic. But over here, no, they have. Isn't there?
Better be a male robot.
A male robot. Ooh, a male robot. They have. I read somewhere. There's a reality show where maybe it's not a reality show. Maybe where contestants sit down and they have a conversation with three, not people, but two people and one robot. One computer program. And are you Googling it, right, Tao? And the soul of the robot?
Googling robots in a minion.
In a minion? Okay, he'll find it soon. Look for CNN. Look like do a site, colon CNN. And they have this is a reality show. They have the person sits down, you have a conversation with three panelists, two humans and one robot, artificial intelligence, and you have to pick which one is the robot. And two-thirds of the contestants get it wrong. Two-thirds of the contestant, after a long conversation with all three panelists, will conclude they will say which one is the robot, and two out of three times they get it wrong. So it goes to show how far technology has gone.
They have a robot writing his Sefer Torah now.
I saw that video. Beautiful. I know. I saw that. Right. It's incredible. The robot. Yeah. Unbelievable.
It
unbelievable.
Takes time.
Yeah, yeah. One letter at a time. One letter at a time. With Dior and the Kulmus. It's not a kosher Sefer Torah.
No.
It's just in the museum. They just want to show. They have a. It's a money making gimmick to come into a museum and watch a robot. Watch a robot sit down at a desk and basically write a Sefer Torah letter by letter with a coolness and DI.
Perfect.
And at the same what? There's a museum. There's a video. You can see the video on Matziv. You go to matziv.com. It's a Jewish website here. And they have, sitting next to the robot, they have a real sofa. They have a real sofa sitting, and people are trying to contrast the difference between the sofa. What purpose? To make money. To come in. It's a gimmick. People should come into the museum. And
why is it kosher?
It's not kosher. How can it be kosher? How can it be kosher? It has to be like a kavod,
a shua. It's not on parchment.
It's on paper. It's not on parchment.
It's on paper,
yeah.
And it just keeps going, but it has the separations.
Yeah, yeah, I saw.
And they say it can't be.
Of course, it can't be a kosher. It has to be.
What can't be a monk?
I just don't know
about the baseball. Could
yeah.
Baseball. They had very small attendance.
Yeah.
So they filled the first two rows with
robots. With robots?
With robots.
Mannequins. Encouragement. Okay. Let's go further. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Mi shas batu chayz chachma. Who is the one that put wisdom into the kidneys? Okay, batuchos means kidneys. Oh, minosan, who is the one lasech divina? Ah, who put into the mind understand? This because this is the bracha we say in the morning. Asher nosan lasech divina. We simply translate sechvi as a rooster. Did I get that right? Is it a rooster? It's some type of bird which crows before the break of dawn. Okay, let's take a look over here at the random mitzvah of the Pasuk Lamed Vav. Okay,
is Yov challenging him on any of these things?
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mocking. He's mocking Yov. Yov, you think, you dare, you dare question the way I conduct this world. You tell me that it's not fair. You have a say, you want to take me to a court of law and judge me for bringing upon you suffering? How dare you? What do you know, Yov? You're ignorant. Do you even know the Aleph base of creation? You know nothing. If you don't understand how this world works, what's involved in the creation of a human being, how dare you think you can understand why and how I conduct this world? That's the entire...
But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking to him is that he's in a...
That's right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that as well. The friends say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't even have to deal with you. You're so insignificant. We all read in the news when people they make these outrageous, absurd accusations. They're not even worthy of responding. It's not a response. Like you outrageous lies. You want to address, you have to respond to an outrageous lie. It's such nonsense that it's not worthy of a reply. Unfortunately, the whole world believes it. So many times you have no choice. You have to deal with it. But that's what the friends indeed said to Eve. Hashem does not have to deal with you. You're so insignificant before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's look over here at Pasuk Lamed Lamed Vav. I wonder if it's getting to you, this safe. It's really getting to me. You know, it's one thing you go to a shir, Eve, day after day after day. It's like, really, you know, I'm actually beginning to believe some of this stuff. You know, during the afternoon when things are not going so well, you know, it actually is. You know, it's really getting rough. Baruch Hashem, we're coming to an end soon. Then we can go back to our fairy tale life, our life of the land of make believe. Okay, me so here the mitzvah is pasuk lamed b'mishas me sam chachma b'chloyos. Who put wisdom in your kidneys? I mean, not san bina b'le. A very short and sweet mitzvah. So he says, now why is betuchos? Why in the world are they called kidneys? We don't find chloyos. So where does this word come? So we look at mitzvah sion. The chloyos v'yikru kein al shem shem tuchos u'mechusos b'chelev. Their pad. Tuchos means padded. Okay, it means filled and padded. That's what the word tuchos. So the kidneys are called kidneys because they are concealed in fat. Okay, this is especially true with regard to animals. They open up the avia, the chelev hamechases akloyos. There's the chelev ala kloyos, mechasa kloyos, below the kloyos, all different types of fats. Some fats are kosher, some fats are not kosher. There's the keshes and the yeser. When you learn mesech tochulin, if you ever go to see a video demonstration, a real demonstration, where they show you how to take out chelev from an animal, the kosher chelev, the non-kosher chelev, there's a lot of fat. And you should know there are very few people that really know what they're doing. Like Belsky was always complaining about this, is that there are very few people that are really properly trained in removing the fats of the animal. You have to really know what you're doing. There's a lot of fat, and that's what he says in Sudos, the Pasuk says, it's covered in fat. And you gotta know what's going on. Who is the one that gave wisdom into this? Here it is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's why v'toch es habayis, the smear. Okay, toch means to plaster the bias. Okay, so it doesn't really mean padded, and really a more precise word translation would mean it's plastered, it's smeared with fat. There must be some deeper meaning in this, is that wisdom is hidden. You're not going to go out to find wisdom. It's not available. You can't buy it in the store. It's not for sale. Person wants to acquire wisdom, you have to search very, very hard. It's a difficult process to find chokhmah. One has to study. One has to find the right rebbe. What's a rebbe that's good for one is not good for someone else. An approach to acquire chokhmah. Chanoch lanar al pi darko. What works for one child does not work for another child. A technique that works for one generation does not work for another generation. Chokhmah is not something that is out in the open. It is plastered. It's hidden behind the wall. You have to go search for it. That's the lesson of this pasuk. Mi shas who put chokhmah in batuchos, in the kidneys. Kidneys is something which is with the place of wisdom hidden behind a concealed wall. Now the next thing is lasech divin, and I once heard a beautiful vart. This vart I think about every so often. If I ever come early to davening, I have enough time to say the Baruch Shachar with proper kavana, this vart always comes to mind. What does bina have to do with the sechvi? Now, simply a sechvi. Let's first read the Rashi before we go. I'll tell you this vart, short Rashi. Rashi says betuchos is elu hakloyos, the kidneys. Okay, we mentioned lasechli. So here Rashi says zet tarnagel. This is the rooster. Loshon chacham. That is the opinion of the chachamim. The yeshem. Some say zet halev. It is the heart. Shehu socha v'tzofer umechashev es chanoilodas. Okay, so this is a different type of chachma, because we just finished saying it was a very important yisur in this Rashi. We first mentioned that Hashem is shas in the tuchos chachma, and then bina. What is bina? Naven davar mitoch davar. Bina on a very similar level represents a deeper level of chokhmah. And Rashi says that the chokhmah we're referring to is it's socha. Socha means to gaze. Soifa is to look. Umechashif. Three very powerful expressions. Socha. Sara Imenu was called Yiska. Why was she called Yiska? Socha. She had Ruach HaKodesh. She gazed. Or someone would say people stared. People looked at her. Her exquisite beauty was an attraction that drew the attention of men. People looked at her. Socha. So here, socha also can be interchanged with samach, means to gaze at a distance. Soifa is also in the same expression, mechashev. Three different expressions which mean deep, deep wisdom with regard to what es hanoilados, what is coming in the future. Which then tells us that the difference between Rashi, where we translate bina, and And Chokhmah, its Chokhmah is the past, to study the past. Bina is a deeper degree of Chokhmah, where after studying the past, you can predict, you can forecast the future. Okay, that's what you look for in a leader. A leader is someone that can guide us into the future, has a plan. You're always looking for...
Statistician.
Okay, statistician.
Different interpretations for...
But this is... I just want to focus...
Collect information.
The purpose is the future. This is what Rashi. This is what Rashi is presenting. There's so many interpretations of Chokhmah, Bina, Vadas. There's even the difference in the order in Nusach Asar, Nusach Ashkenaz, in the Shemone Esrei. The order Chodei Mitcha, Deya Bina Vahaskel. That's Nusach Ashkenaz. Nusach Asar is Chodei Mitcha, Chokhmah, Bina, Vadas. So there are different words, and the different order obviously represents a different concept. We know there's also a very big difference in Yosef, and in the last week's parasha, Parashas Devarim, Paro said to Yosef, Ein Novon v'chochom kamoscha. There is no one in the nation that is Novon and a Chochom like you. When Moshe looked for men for the Sanhedrin, Yisro advised them, Havu lechem anoshim chachomim univonim. First Chachamim, then Nivonim. So the obvious question is, what's the difference in order? Why Moshe and Paro, did they change the order? So I don't know the answer. I don't know clear answer, but I do know that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, has a beautiful piece on this difference between. If I'm not mistaken, it goes something along the lines that by the Umos Sa'olam, the Chachma is finite. Okay, it's finite, and then it's not divine. Chokhmah has been given to the world. There is a body of knowledge which is known, which can be mastered to some degree. I don't know if that's really possible. But Paro said to Yosef, "A novel, you are a person who is maven davar mitoch davar. You are a knowledgeable person. You're a person who can understand. And after you have accomplished, we can give you a degree. We can now call you a chokham. You are a chokham for your acquisition of the maven davar mitoch davar, and that's where it stops. You'll get your postdoctorate. We'll maybe give you two or three of them, but that's it. You have mastered the sciences. You may." And on that we're going to package it and wrap it up and call it a chokhmah. By Klal Yisrael, Talmidei Chacham are always called Talmidim. They are in a perpetual state of perpetual students. They continue to learn because by Klal Yisrael, the chokhmah is divine. It comes from the Torah. And the Torah's chokhmah is infinite. So whatever you think, so your starting point is chokhmah. The second after chokhmah comes Novel comes Bina, Maven, Dov, Mitoch, Dover. You're in an infinite quest to acquire, to seek more knowledge by analyzing the Chokhmah that you have previously acquired. So by Klal Yisrael, the order is Havu Lechem Anoshim, first comes Chachamim, and then comes Nevonim. Maven, Dov, Mitoch, Dover, a perpetual state of acquiring knowledge to always be together, Talmidim. But by the Umos Sa'olam, by Paro, Ein Novon, the Chokhom Kamocha. First it comes Navon. By the Umos Olam, the understanding is you understand things. You have mastered a body of knowledge, and that will be the Chokhmah. That's where it ends. So this is, I believe, how Aaron Soloveitchik explains the difference between Paro and Moshe Rabbeinu. Here we have, here in this pasuk, we have the two words together. We have Chokhmah, interesting. First comes Chokhmah, and then comes Bina. The order itself is also very significant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked this rhetorical question to Eve. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have said first, me, who's the one that was Nosan Sechri Levina, and was Nosan and Shas Batuchos Chokhmah? It's also significant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he presented this question to Eve, the order first comes Chokhmah, and then comes Bina. That's the line with Havu Lechem Anoshim Chacham Unavonim. Okay, that's one issue. What
about the possibility that he interpreted the dreams of Paro,
yeah,
or which involves a level of Bina?
Bina.
So he's more a karstov. That was personally important to him.
Ah, okay, that's a very good idea. You're saying another idea that since he presented the contradictory dreams, he had not different dreams, and there was the element of Bina. That was the primary element. And then Chacham, what was the Chacham? What was the degree of Chacham? Okay, there are many different approaches. You have to really study the parasha very well. I don't know. I just threw out an idea that I remember from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. It's just the Maramokon. Maramokon, Moshe versus Paro, Novon, Chacham, Chacham. Chacham is a very good topic for the Haggadah, because in the Haggadah you actually quote that pasuk. You quote that pasuk somewhere in the Haggadah. You mention Chacham and Avon, something nice to talk. No, yeah, in the beginning of the Haggadah. I don't remember that. Okay, but here it's interesting. The order is interesting. Now, but Rashi here just presents an entirely different idea. Rashi presents the idea that Navon very much relates to the Bina, who relates to the future. Okay, that's a whole different approach. Chochma, in contrast to that, to Chochma would see Chochma is the past. You can absorb the knowledge of the past. You can pick up on the wisdom of your predecessors and now apply that knowledge to the future. Present a plan for the future. Navon, that's how Rashi appears to learn. Socha v'tsoifeh u'mechashef es ha'noilados. Things that are yet to come. An entirely different idea. Now, the what I wanted to mention to you, Vina, we have Rashi two interpretations. Also, by the way, we have two different parts of Chochma. There's the kidneys, is Chochma, and the lave is Bina. Okay, now, the other interpretation Rashi gives is that Bina, the sech, refers to the tarnagol, the rooster, which crows right before the crack of dawn. Now, most of us, including myself, always under the assumption that when does the rooster crow? The rooster crows, it has to do with it when it sees. That's what I always assume, that it has a very powerful sense of sight. I don't know if science can support this idea, that a rooster has a very sensitive koyach of re'iyah, and can see when in the sky there's the crack of dawn has begun. 72 minutes alois hashachar, which is approximately whatever the different opinions, let's say 72 minutes before sunrise. At that point in time, the sun is way below the horizon, 72 minutes, but yet, being that it's coming up in the sky, already there is some crack of dawn, there is some ray that is coming into the sky, and this little teeny creature with a teeny, teeny little mind that under a microscope will look to us just as nothing of nothing, has this incredible sensitivity. It's able to see that ray in the sky, and that pitch black sky, which means it's going to, in 72 minutes, the ball of the sun will rise above the horizon. That's incredible. Who can pull it off? Other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is what Iyo Hashem is saying to you. And the problem is, if that's really true, what does it have to do with Bina? If that's really the pshat, which is a simple pshat, and I'm sure that's what they taught me, and that's probably what they teach every child in cheder, Hashem gives the bee understanding to this little creature, the rooster. Okay, that's fine.
It's an instinct.
Instinct.
What do you mean an instinct?
Different animals have different.
So what's the instinct?
Some of them
what is
have
the instinct?
A great sense of smell.
Okay. So what's the sense? What's the instinct? It sees. Doesn't have to see.
But it's not knowledge. It's an animal.
What?
It says that they put it in a dark room, and it still knows
when. That's what I'm coming to point out. But on a very simple level, what does it mean on a very simple level? We imagine they're living on a farm, and there are roosters that are roaming around down in the street, and then they get a sense, and they call. The problem with this interpretation is, if this really what it means, what does this have to do with Bina? Bina does not seem to be the correct term to connect to the koyach of knowing when it's dawn. You want to say it's chachma, you want to say it's instinct. The word bina is just not the right word.
There's no.
If you were writing the Birchas Hashachar, you would not select the word bina from your vocabulary. He gives him whatever it is. You'll find that a better word, but you're not going to pick the word bina. So what then does it mean? So I once saw a very interesting idea. If you study the Sechvig, you have to know if this is true or not. I don't know, I'm just telling you what it says. The rooster crows not 72 minutes before sunrise. It's not when it crows. The rooster crows, let's assume now the rooster crows a little shachar, which is 72 minutes before sunrise. Let's just make that belief. It crows 72 and a half minutes before sunrise. Or 72 minutes and 59 seconds. It crows a second before there is any difference in the sky. Oh, the sky is pitch black. There is absolutely no rays. But the mind of the Sefi is so calculated It knows the pattern. It knows the cycle. It knows that every single day the sun rises a minute later or a minute earlier, depending on the winter and the summer. It knows the cycle of the year. It knows its acceleration and it accelerates, it slows down. It has the whole cycle down pat. And it has an internal clock. And it crows a minute or a couple of seconds before the first possible moment when there would be a change in the sky. That's Bina. What is Bina? Hamevin davar mitoch davar. If yesterday the sun, Halois HaShachar, was at 6:01, and today is one day later in the season, in the summer season, that means the sun's going to rise today at 6 o'clock and 53 seconds. So I will sound my alarm at 6 o'clock and 50 seconds, 3 seconds before. It's Maven Dovar Mitoch Dovar. Since I know what happened yesterday, I know what's going to happen today, I'm going to already predict the future. It fits very well into Rashi, because Rashi says that B'chor is Bina. Bina means you can predict the future. Chochmah is the past. Bina is where you have taken the body of knowledge, you've mastered it, and you now can take advantage of your knowledge and predict the future. The Sechli is going to cry out in the middle of pitch black darkness, predicting what's going to happen in a couple of seconds from now. That's the Bina that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into this little teeny creature, and it's little teeny puny mind. And if that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given the Sechli, Allah has kavakama, there's potential for man. Okay, it's also the Lev Adam. If man will only apply himself and acquire Chokhmah, he'll also be able to achieve a degree of knowledge, will be able to predict the future or know how to deal with situations that will arise in the future.
Is the Shorish
Bain, maybe it's Ben, a child. A child is something which is an extension, which is the future. A person's future are his children. Right? What is a person's future? His children, Banim. So maybe there is a relation between Ben, I don't know. But simply it's Bina, it's a standalone word. So let's go to the next one. Pasuk Lamed. Zai mi yisaper shichakim b'chokhmah. The word yisaper does not mean to speak. Okay, well, I shouldn't really say that because the Targum does say yimne. Yimne means it means to count. Okay, so we'll come back to the Targum in a moment. Simply yisaper, it means the truth is, really, Rashi also says to speak, but the Mitzuda says it means the brilliance. Lashon of is a stone. Evan Yoko, that's Bohir. It's a stone of brilliance, a stone that produces a bright light. Mi yisaper shichakim b'chokhma. Who is the one that caused the skies to be illuminated or to be bright, to present their brightness with wisdom? Okay, so it's describing the color, the hue of the sky. The nivle shamay mi yashkev. Nivle means a container. And here the container refers to the clouds. And Yashkiv means to lay out. Who is the one that laid out the atmosphere or the clouds? Rambam says as the clouds. And Shemaim, another rhetorical question that you, Eev, don't have any knowledge. You don't know what goes into the color, into the brilliance of the sky, and into the clouds or the various layers of an atmosphere which have been laid out over the heavens. Pasuk Lamed Zayin in the Mitzudos, Mi Yisaper, Mi Hu Asher Yaseh Shemaim Bihirim. Who is the one that made the heavens clear, shiny, kasapir tohurim, like the stone, the sapphire stone. Anyone who call the sapphire the blue color of sapphire stone?
Yeah.
So that's seemingly the color of the sky. Min huananim, tar min huananim. That's pure from any clouds. Who's the one that's spread underneath the beautiful sapphire sky? Who spread out the clouds? Es nivle hashamayim, the containers of heaven. What are the containers? This refers to the clouds. Okay, Rashi says something very different. Yisaper yidaber. V'yasir tafkidam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks and warns them to fulfill their mission. The clouds have a mission, they have a role, they have a purpose. Their purpose is, I guess, to preserve, you know, the ozone layer, not to to preserve whatever, all the different things that scientists tell us that they're there to separate the Earth from outer space, all the dangerous things that can come from outer space into Earth. You know, in the world. When something comes, there's a lot of space junk out there, right? Isn't there all these articles, all the space junk, and a lot of that space junk falls into Earth. It just does make its way down, but the only reason it doesn't come down and do anything to us is because it gets burnt up in the atmosphere. If it would not get burnt up in the atmosphere, we would be finished. Okay, things would come flying down. Who knows what would happen? HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into creation this mechanism, this buffer zone, which protects us from things which come down to the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, he spoke, Yisaper, he spoke. His speaking was in the form of a warning. The Yazhir Tafkidim, and warned them as to fulfill their purpose. The Nivle, Asuyin, the containers, Asuyin Kinoidos, the containers are made like flasks. The Agashamim, Kinusim Bosham, and rain is collected in these containers. Kimo Nevelian, like a container of wine. So it's a reference to the clouds or various containers in heaven which store water. Okay, Targum says something different. Targum says me yimei shivosei shemayim b'chukmasa, the seven layers of heaven. We have a tradition that there are seven heavens. This is a Gemara. The Gemara says that in between each heaven there's a distance of 500 years. It takes 500 years to travel from one heaven to the next heaven. There are seven different heavens. Each heaven has a different surah, and that's what the Targum adds into the word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts. Hashem counts these seven heavens with wisdom. V'chilvos Shemaya Miyishrei, V'chilvos, I'm not sure what that word means. V'chilvos Shemaya, V'shemaya Miyishrei, who Yishrei, he makes straight. Yishrei Loshon of Yashus. Seemingly it's the same idea. The containers of heaven, he lays out. I'm not sure what that means, but at least according to the Mitzvah Targum, it means the seven layers, seven different heavens. Pasuk Lamed Ches. So now we go to the earth. Betzekes Ofar Lamutzak Urgavim Yidu Baku. Hashem poured. Tzekes means to pour. He poured earth Lamutzak as a solid item. A mutzak literally means something that's solid. It was a liquid form, it was poured, and it and as it dried, it congealed, solidified into one mass. It's not pieces that have been bolted together or stitched together. They have different items that have been put together, glued together, stitched together. That's not a mutzak. A mutzak means it's one solid piece. Urgavim yidu baku, clumps of earth have cleaved together. We have the Chazal, sadna da'ara chadhu. The bond of the earth is one. A person, wherever he is, it's considered karka, is considered, you're connected to your karka no matter wherever you are. If you acquire, let's talk about metaltalin. One of the ways a person can acquire metaltalin is through kinyan agaf. Is I'm going to acquire the piece of land, and by acquiring the piece of land, I'm going to acquire the metaltalin, the movable objects. The problem is, according to some opinions, the movable objects must be lying on top of the earth. Being that movable objects are not anchored, they're not attached to the ground, if you want to acquire a movable object through a kinyan on a piece of earth, you must put, the movable object must be positioned on the earth. Then when you make the kinyan on the karka, nimela kinyan agav, you also acquire the movable objects. But let's say you want to acquire 10 pieces of land, and I only want to make a kinyan on one piece of land. Can that kinyan on one piece of land automatically be used, can be sufficient to acquire all the other 9 pieces? So the answer is yes. Through kinyan agav, I acquire one, I acquire the others. But I didn't make a kinyan on the others. No, kinyan agav, a kinyan on one automatically works well. But it's not, the other pieces of land are not on top of land number one. It doesn't have to be. They're all connected.
Oh.
The entire globe, the entire earth is connected. How is it connected? It doesn't have to be physically connected.
Oh.
One could be another, one part of the world could be in Australia, one can be in France, and one can be in Germany, one can be in Eretz Yisrael, because the Gemara says, Sadna da'ara chadhu. The band of the earth is one. And that's what it says there in this pasuk.
Don't the seas make separation?
No, it doesn't matter. The seas are just like pools. Underneath the seas, the earth dips down. Sadna da'ara chadhu. That's exactly what it says in this pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tzekes, he poured out off of earth. Lamutzach, to become one mass, one mold, one piece. Yeah.
I wonder if the reference to the Earth's core.
Yeah, I mean that's what it sounds like. Yeah, the Earth's core, the molten down, it's a volcano down there, right? That's what they say. The deeper you go, the hotter it gets. Gehenim is is all the way down there. Okay, Ugavim Yidubaku, and clumps of earth are attached one to another. Let's take a look over here at Pasuk Lamed Ches. We know that the earthquakes happen when there's a shift, the plates. There are certain plates, so it shifts. Staggers quickly. Earthquakes, when there is something going on deep down in the Mutzak. Okay, I don't know all this stuff. Let's see Lamed Ches Mitzudos Betzekes. So it's not. So it does see that. That's an interesting point. Yidubaku has a connotation. Okay, has a connotation that it's not one piece. There seems to be a contradiction. Yidubaku means it's just attached. You have two separate items that are glued together. So you're saying it makes a lot of interesting sense. It makes a lot of sense. Maybe when it says here, this is the core of the earth. The tzekes ofar lamutza kalosh baruch hu. He poured molten matter into the core. That's the core of the earth. Surrounding that, there are plates, right? There are rock, all different types of different rocks, all different layers of rock. And those rocks, it's not one rock, they're plates. And those plates are connected, they're glued together. But it's not one piece. And being that it's glued together, it does allow for an occasional shift. And when there is a shift, that opens up, gives some release of energy from the core, the tzekes ofer lamutzuk, and that's what causes volcanoes, earthquakes, and all of these other natural disasters. Let's take a look at Pasuk Lamed Ches. Pasuk Lamed Ches says, "Betzekes musaf al miyashkin." It's going back on me. Who is the one that has spread out? Who is the one that mashkiv upoyres esaris, who spread out the earth? So he's not learning this parish of Michal that we're dealing with the molten image. He's learning a very simple parish of the earth. We're dealing with the earth underneath the ground. He poured out.
No, it could be that it cooled. That's golden.
Good. Okay. I like what you said. What you're saying makes, you know, it really...
No, they didn't know.
The tzekes and the mutzak fit very well with the liquid. Okay, that's a liquid. That's not what he's saying. He's saying over here that it's... that's what rock at one point in time was also, they say, was also a liquid at one point in time. Okay. But who was the one that was Pyrus Aretz Be'ez Ha'isa Nitzak He'afar, when the earth was poured? Lios Yitzika Achas. One plate. One pouring. Okay, one mass. The Horogovim Yu Devukim Achas Al Achas. Clumps of earth cleaved one to another. Lios Goylam Echot. To one mold. What does Hashem mean to say? Here he always goes back to the theme, the mitzvah goes back to the rhetorical question. Ha'aloi ani ha'isa eskol eila. I am the one who has made all of these things. V'lo zulosi, no one but me. I am the one, no one else. You, Eev, did not participate. You do not have any knowledge of these things. Umadua imkein lotira melahara haroi. Why are you not afraid of me? How dare you question my ways? You're not knowledgeable of these things. Rashi, Pasuk Lamed Ches, Betzekes Ofar, Biyom Sheyotzakti Ofar, that I poured on the earth dust, Lemutzak, liyisoy to olam beemtzi isoy. Case Rashi, who was a lot earlier then, the Mitsudo seems to be more in tune with today's science.
I don't know how, but
he seems more in tune with today's science. The Soid Olam Be'emti, the center of the earth. Urgavim Yidu Baku, Sibi Vaisav, around the core, Hashem cleaved clumps of earth with Stadin, Adki Nismale Arkav Rachman, until the earth's length, breadth, width, length was filled up. Pasik Mem. Pasik, I'm sorry, Pasik Lamites. Ha Sotsud Lulavi Toref, Techayas Kithirim Timale. Did you, now we're talking about food, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides sustenance. After describing the heavens and rain and describing the earth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now goes on for a series of sukkim describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously provides every living creature, Paseches Yodecha, Umaspia L'chol Chai Ratzon. And that here is going to be expressed in many different ways. And by the way, there's a parak break, and the parak break is really in the middle of nowhere, because the theme and these sukkim that describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he provides for all of his creatures, is you know, Pasuk Aleph coming up soon is really right smack in the middle of this of these series of sukkim, which does not, like Rav Schwab says, from all the prokim breaks, this seems to be the most bizarre. Okay, we have prokim break. You have no choice. You have to have chapter breaks, right, to make it easy to read. Because we're not following the system of the psuchos and the stumos. But why would anyone put a break between the psuch and the where we're coming to, when right now, if you want to put a paragraph break, we'd probably better put one right over here. Right? A new paragraph break would be very good, Pasuk Lamites. Because Pasuk Lamites now begins a new theme. It begins describing for Rishit Psuch HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he provides the food for his creatures. And this goes on for a number of psukim into the next parak, and this would be really a good place to make a parak break. But let's see what it is. Hasatzut l'lavi taref. Are you he of the one that trapped for a lion? Okay, a lavi is a young lion, a lion cub. There are seven names for a lion. Here is one of them. Taref, it's prey. We have two of them. They have a lavi and a kfir. Okay, two different stages of a lion. V'chayas kithirim. And the wild kefirim tamalei, you fill them up with food. Let's look into this sort of precise translation. Hasatzud harem ato totsu lulavi taref. Did you even have the power to trap for lovey food? Harem ato tamalei lekefirim. Are you the one, Eev? Are you the one? So you have to read the word backwards. Read this section backwards. Tamalei. Are you the one that filled up for the kfir? Es nafsham hachayuni. Chayas here is not a noun. It's the nafsham hachayuni means it's an adjective. It's their living spirit. The chayas kefir means the life of the kefir. Nafsham hachayuni v'hamisave, and those that have a desire. Are you the one that was able to fill them up with food? Question mark. So again, the whole pasuk reads one more time. Hasatzud l'lavi taref. Are you the one, Eev, that trapped for the lavi, for the lion, food, prey? Are you? Do you have that ability to take care of the lions that should not starve? Question mark. Next question. Timale, we'll read it backwards. Do you have the ability to fill up kefir, the chayas kefir, the life, the life force of the kefir with sustenance? You have to add the word taref again. Do you have the ability to provide for the life force of the kefir with its sustenance? Question mark. Of course not. So who do you think you are? Pasuk Lamites and Rashi. There is no Rashi. Pasuk Mem. Me Yosh. Now here we get all these psukim, which are very complicated. Me Yoshochu Bameonos Yeshevu Basuko Lemo Arif. Let's try to wait to the mitzvah. It's a hard pasuk. Me Yoshochu. Yoshochu means to bend. Koimer. This means to say, okay, whatever the mitzvah says cover means, the pasuk is not to be taken literally. You have to allow a parish into the pasuk. Haloi. Ani nasati chokma behema. I have granted wisdom to each animal. We're going to give here many examples. But I have granted each an innate wisdom to each animal to know exactly what it needs to do in order to find its food. a technique that will work for one animal will not work for another animal. So how then does this animal know what to do in order to acquire its food? Hashem says, I put that machshava in its little mind, its instinct. I have granted wisdom to an animal, limso teref, to find food. How do they find food? Asher yichfafu koimosam bimidurum. They bend down their head, their height, in the place where they live, in their modar. Modar means their habitat, in their natural habitat. Leval yargishu bohem hachayos, so that the other creatures, which will be the sustenance of this larger creature, will not be aware that they are being preyed upon. Because if they were aware that they are going to be fodder for their predator, for this predator, then they would flee. They wouldn't dare live in this territory. V'yivrochu, they would run away. Period. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave this lion the chokhmah that it should lie, it should bend down, it should humble itself and disguise itself, camouflage itself in an area where other little creatures are roaming around, so that it can easily eat them up. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu would not give. Now that doesn't. That's very nice for the lion, but it's not very nice for those, for the victims, for the prey. It's not a perfect world, Rabbi Son. What can I tell you? I don't know the answer, but at least for this creature, for this larger creature which has an entitlement, that's part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, has an entitlement to eat up the little creature. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it the wisdom of how it should go about acquiring its prey, and that is a chokhmah of hiding itself. That what the great chokhmah is, this is an amazing idea, that's not the nature of an animal. The nature, the base nature of a person, and that really means of an animal, is gaiva, right? I'm going to bend down. I'm going to make believe I don't exist. That's the most foreign concept to man's base nature. The ability to humble yourself and to acknowledge, make believe you don't exist, that's divine. That's spirituality. That's the malach and listening reshu zeh lazeh. I want to ask you permission. I don't want to step on your toes. A human being, a dover gashmi, il mole moira, ish esreyeu, chayim below. Chazal say it's natural base instinct for a human being to swallow up another human being. Cannibalism. The Akinas yesterday, we learned about that. It's frightening. It's only because a person has a conscience, he recognizes there's something in the Zerubai Shalom. Animals don't have that. Animals are animals. Animals are the base nature of the human being. So it's not the derech of an animal to humble itself, to make believe I don't exist. Even if it's suicide, even if it means it's not going to be able to acquire food, it'll starve to death. That's the incredible chachma. This is an incredible thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the Bria. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes a lion, the king of the animals. Okay, the gaiva of the gaiva. This is the spitz of gaiva. Is the lion. And it says
much into the lion's ability to sneak up on its prey.
No, I think there's something very we take it for granted because we're so used to it. But if you think about it, it's an incredible. What the pasuk is telling us, like the Shbaruch would put this chokhmah into the animal, that it's kedai, even though you are the king of the animal kingdom. It's kedai for you, the lion, to humble yourself. To bend. Bending is an act of humility. And to make believe that you do not exist so that you can survive. So that you can easily catch your prey. Because if you would not do this, no one would live in your territory. All of the creatures would run far away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Eve, look at that, Eve. It doesn't make sense. A lot of the things, if you learn the Pesukim a lot deeper, a lot of the things, the certain theme is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing Eve there are contradictions in this world. There are contradictions in science. If you follow study one area of science, you reach a certain conclusion. There's a certain theme. And then when you study another area of science, it's just the opposite. And it doesn't make sense. Why here should this theorem work? And in this situation, it's just the opposite. It's a contradiction. That goes to show that all is a revelation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling the shots. Indeed, even Teva doesn't make sense. There is this pattern which reappears over and over. Unfortunately, I don't know the depth of the
circle. It's offensive and defensive, because you find animals and you find plants that are able to change their colors, to change their physical being, and able to either attack or
be on the defensive side. But here I think it's very deep. The lion is a guy. The lion over here is humbling itself. Me Yashoku Bama'onos. Who is the one that taught? Who is the one that taught the lion to bend down in a cave? Yeshu Vasuku. Who is the one that taught this mighty lion that it should humble itself and sit in a thicket, in a basukah, in a thicket? The Mo'arev and lie in ambush and wait for its prey to come along. It's not the nature of a lion to do something like this. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu put this chokhmah in the mind of the lion in order that it should survive. That goes to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the animals. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create the animals, it would never happen in the laws of evolution. In the laws of evolution, such a thing should happen like this. An animal should evolve, whose nature is gaiva, and yet to show an act of humility in order to survive, it would never happen. Period. They sit in a sukkah to lie in wait for the wild animals, literally tariff to attack their prey. Rashi, Yashochu, Omdim Tsefufim, a different interpretation. They stand tsefufim means bent. They stand in a bent way, Lumo Arev, Le'eroiv, to lie in ambush. Kain derech ha'arvim la'shuach. That's the custom of a person who lies in ambush to bend. The loch of atzmo k'deshalo yakibuhem. No one should recognize. Same idea as the mitzudos. Okay, so this is the idea. We have only one. We'll leave the next pasuk for tomorrow. The pasuk chum nemalef really goes in to pasuk aleph. The next paragraph is the same thing. We'll stop here.